The crowd obliged with long, loud applause. Terence withdrew to the side and the spotlight was turned on her. She was dressed, like the other girls, in a long, cream, low-cut, strapped dress. There was a sash at her waist, which hung lower on one side. The audience fell dead silent. I held my breath. There is an introduction to the piece written by Cole Porter, which was meant for the Broadway stage musical but is rarely sung now. The band started up with the introduction, and the melody softly spilled out of Terence's clarinet. All the instruments played subdued, allowing a lot of room for the singer. The spotlight stayed on Brenna, and so did the cameras. Desperately, I looked around me and found what I was looking for. In the lap of a lady two seats from me was a pair of binoculars. I tapped the gentleman on the shoulder and asked, "Could I borrow your glasses for just a second?" They looked puzzled but agreed and handed them over just as Brenna started to sing. I swung the glasses up to see her face upturned to heaven. Her arms spread wide and from her came the voice of an angel. When she paused, the instruments came into the foreground and Brenna stepped back out of the light. I was still watching with the borrowed binoculars. The cameraman seemed to not want to let her go, and the big screen showed her face in shadow while the music continued. Everyone there, including me, could see the tears streaming down her cheeks, like little fireflies caught by the light. She held her head high and steady, but I thought I could see her lips tremble. "Finish, fella," my neighbor asked. I reluctantly gave up the glasses. He was giving me a hard look. "Know her? My girl." I was opening my eyes wide to absorb the tears forming. He probably could see that in the light. "I'm sorry. Keep them till she's done," he said and handed back the glasses. I smiled and nodded thanks and put them up again. The camera was trained on various members of the band, but frequently came back to Brenna's face. She appeared to stabilize a bit and stared forward, a small, strained smile on her lips. When the number was over, during the immense applause, Terence moved to stand beside Brenna, and the spotlight and cameras followed him. He bent at the waist before her and kissed her hand, then held it up like a prize fighter. The audience was on its feet, especially me. When the clamor died down, they walked together to the mic, his arm over her shoulder. I took a long look at Mr. Terence through the glasses. He was tall, dark, and handsome, just like the movie line. He showed a big, pearly white smile with Hollywood teeth, his dark, curly hair spilling over his collar. Trim at the waist and broad at the shoulders, Terence was looking at Brenna as if she were a morsel to be devoured. I instantly hated him. Mostly, I was jealous. He was better looking than me, more talented and famous to boot. And he had Brenna, and I didn't. I was down and out, just like I had feared.